When the Bible talks about complaining, it often will use terms that we would translate like murmuring or grumbling. And if you think about a murmur especially, it can be this constant thing. And the connotation of the original words in the Bible for complaining is a constant thing. It's a constant, it's like a buzz of a fly. If you've ever in the summer had a fly buzzing around your head and it just won't go away, and you hear that zzzz over and over and over again, and it's incredibly annoying, so that you're swatting at the air and it's just obnoxious. That's kind of what the complaining of the Israelites is like. And the problem is that whenever something is constant like that, if you're constantly complaining or constantly murmuring, constantly making this kind of noise, is that you can't hear what God's word has to say to you. And this is the problem with the Israelites, is that they're spending so much time complaining and talking that they don't recognize the amazing things that God is doing for them. Another way to talk about that or to say that is that complaining or grumbling is a kind of obstinance. It's a kind of not moving. In fact, the word that's used here in Exodus chapter 16 for complaining is a different form of the word to stand still or to tarry. Like the phrase to tarry through the night, to stay still or to last all night long, to not move. And that's what the complaining is. It's a not moving or a obstinance in their position that they hold. It's this constant obstinance. They refuse to repent. They refuse to stop grumbling against Moses and Aaron. Now, what's amazing about this complaining that the Israelites do is that the Lord allows it to happen. And he's patient with them. In fact, before Moses even has the chance to respond, they give this whole complaint about, oh, that we were back in Egypt eating the pots of meat and eating bread to the full, which wasn't really the case. At least that's only part of the story about what happened in Egypt. They give this full complaint, and before Moses has the chance to respond to them, the Lord immediately answers. The Lord then said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not." The Lord already knew what they needed, of course, but he answers their complaint right away. Without hesitation, the Lord is patient, allows them to complain, and gives them and promises them what they need. And he says it is that they may be tested by him to see if they will walk in his law or not. And in the same way, he hears your complaints today. Whether big or small, whether silly or serious, the Lord hears the complaints that you have. He graciously wants us to pray to him, graciously hears our prayers, and knows all of our little problems. We have talked about recently in the past, both in sermons and Bible studies, this idea of lament. That one of the main prayers or kinds of prayers that we pray as Christians is to lament, to grieve our grievances to the Lord, to pray to him and to even argue with God, to complain to God and to hold him to his promises. That is some of the most incredible prayers in the Bible, like, for instance, the book of Lamentations, the book of Laments, or many of the Psalms. And so we do complain to the Lord, and the Lord is gracious, and he hears our prayers, and he hears our complaints. Now, with that said, we should remember the rest of this story, that the grumblings of the Israelites are different here than the complaints and the laments of Jeremiah, for instance. The grumblings that the Israelites had here, I think when you read the story in context, they were not done in faith like a faithful lament is. They were sinful. The Israelites were expected to grow in their faith as the Lord had brought them with his mighty right arm out of Egypt, as he had brought them through the Red Sea waters, as he had provided for them all the way, rescued them from slavery and from certain death, and was leading them to the promised land. They were expected to grow in their faith, to grow up. But they whined. And whining is a childish behavior. And many of them did not eventually grow up. As we know from Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 and from the rest of the story in Exodus, many of them died rejecting God, even after experiencing the mighty works of God's saving power in the Exodus. And so you can see that in some, the complaints did not lead to anything good. Yes, the Lord heard them and tested them. Some of them failed the test. In fact, you see it in the very story. The Lord tested them and told them, only collect what you need for a day. But some of them were worried that God would not continue to provide. And so they took more than they needed. And what they held over, bread, worms, and stank. And you can see in that the constant obstinance that can come with this kind of murmuring or complaining. This refusal to believe that God would actually provide for them and refusal to change their ways. It's a refusal to change. And that way, complaining in this way is the opposite of repentance. That's what repentance means, is to change directions or to change your ways. And this kind of complaining that they were doing is a refusal to move, a refusal to change. Grumbling is the opposite of repentance. Now, in this testing that the Lord provides, and in being patient and allowing complaints, what the Lord is doing is not saying, well, the complaining is okay. What he's doing is allowing the Israelites and inviting us, when we complain, to examine our complaining. Whenever he hears us and he responds to us and provides for us, even in the midst of sinful grumbling, he's inviting us to examine our lives and our grumbling and give us the chance to repent. Moses' response, I think, is very telling. Whenever he tells the Israelites what the Lord has said, he says, "In the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us?" Also, Moses said, "This shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat in the evening and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints, which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord." One of the questions we can ask when we grumble is, who are you really grumbling to? I can sympathize with Moses here because Moses and Aaron are the direct recipients of the complaints to begin with. They complain to Moses and Aaron over and over and over again. But Moses is very clear, you're not really complaining against me. You're complaining against the Lord. And as a pastor, I have been on the receiving end of complaints that were not really against me, but against God's word. what God clearly teaches in His Word. And we're all prone to do this, aren't we? We find ourselves in situations that are either our fault directly because of our sinful actions, or situations which are maybe God's fault, that God puts us in certain situations to test us and to teach us something. And instead of repenting for the sin that we committed to end up in a situation, or instead of accepting the lesson that God wants to teach us in suffering, we instead grumble to our friends or to our family, or take it out on those around us. That's what the Israelites did. They didn't want to learn the lesson that the Lord was trying to teach them about provision, and so they grumbled to their leaders, Moses and Aaron. The next thing we can ask not only is, who are we really complaining to? But also, I think a good question is, what kind of complaint is this? As we've already hinted at, there are different kinds of complaint in the Bible. I think one kind of complaint maybe we should just kind of get out of the way to begin with is the kind of silly complaints that we often find ourselves having. Things like, the internet went out and now I can't watch the TV show I wanted to watch. Or, that guy cut me off in traffic, how dare he? Or, I got the wrong food with my takeout order. Now what am I going to do? I don't get to eat the food that I wanted to eat. I have to eat some other delicious food that I paid money for. Yeah, those things are frustrating. But let's be honest, they're not worth complaining over. Sometimes you hear in society these are called, quote unquote, first world problems. I don't know if you've heard that. And yeah, sure, they're frustrating things and we do get upset over them. But if we're honest with ourselves, the reason we call them first world problems is because things might be much worse. They could be a lot worse, in fact. And we should learn to practice contentment. I say that they're silly things, and in fact, they are silly things. But what's not silly is if we do spend a lot of our time complaining and overreacting to such things. It is a spiritual problem in us if we get that upset over wrong food in a takeout order or whatever other silly things occur. But there is other kinds of complaint too. The next kind is one that we already hinted at, a kind I'm going to call truly just complaints. That would be laments, like we talked about. This is when you're wrongfully fired from a job that you were using to provide for your family, or when someone has deeply hurt, maybe even physically attacked you or a family member, or when a child receives a cancer diagnosis. When these kinds of things happen, we lament. We don't know why evil has come upon us. And so we cry out and we complain to God and we grieve with Him and we pray. And again, God hears those prayers and He wants to answer them. And He wants to bring you through those times to a point of peace. And I want you to notice this, that even with those truly just complaints, even with those laments, you're not supposed to stay in the same place forever. At some point, if you go and read the Psalms of Lament, at basically the end of every Psalm of Lament is a praise of rejoicing for God's mercy. That with any complaint, even truly just complaints, they're supposed to end with you praising God and rejoicing in His mercy. You're not supposed to stay obstinate. Remember, the sin in grumbling is this obstinance, this refusal to move on. And so, yes, there can be truly just complaints, truly just laments that we have, and we should lament and we should call out, but also recognize that God wants to use that lament to bring you to a better place. The final kind of complaint that I want to talk about here is the kind that happens to the Israelites, and that's what I'm going to call true and serious, but unrighteous and unjust. The Israelites were seriously hungry. They had a real problem on their hands. They had been led out into the wilderness and they had nothing to eat. It wasn't like they had just got cut off in traffic or something silly like that. They had a real problem. But they should have known better than to complain to the Lord, who had already promised to provide for them, who had already shown them so much mercy and so much grace, and had shown them that he was going to give them everything they needed, and that he had promised them he would bring them through the wilderness to the promised land. And so this is like when we grumble about things which we know the Lord has given for our good, and we grumble about things that we know the Lord has already said are true and right. And so this is like when you hear complaints in the church about doctrines. One I hear about often is a certain doctrine of the church that other modern Christians consider unwelcoming to visitors. Or when you hear complaints in Christian households about women and male headship, or when you hear men complaining about the responsibilities they have in Christian households to be the spiritual heads of their house, it can go both directions. Or when you have grumbles like these: if only God had given me a little more wealth, or if only God had given me a little different life to live, or if God had given me a different spouse, then I would be happier. Or if God had made me just a little bit taller, then I would really be happy with my life. I've never had that last one come through my mind. But these are, joking aside, these are serious complaints. When we know what God has given us, and when God has given us things that are for our good, the doctrines of his church, order in our lives and our households, and all the things and gifts which he has given us graciously, it is wrong to grumble against him. And you should repent. Do not be obstinate and constant in such complaints. But even with such complaints, the Lord provides what we need. Not always what we want, but what we need. So when they measured it by omers, he who had gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. The Israelites in the wilderness were given meat in the evening by quail, bread in the morning by manna, and water to quench their thirst. No, it was not a 5-star Michelin restaurant meal, but it was enough. And it was right, and it was just enough. Exactly the amount that God wanted them to have. So much that if they tried to keep too much, it would breed worms and stink. Just enough that whenever the sun came out every day, it would melt. Just enough so that they could gather double portion on the 6th day and have enough for the 6th and 7th exactly. Each according to their need, they had enough. And that's what the Lord does for us. He gives us what each of us needs. Maybe it's not what we want. Maybe we don't have all the things that we thought were the best things. Maybe if we could write the Bible, we would change some verses around to make it make more sense to us. But we're not God, and we didn't write his word. And he is the one who is the author of all life and all of creation and sustains it all. And so he has given you whatever he has given you enough, just the right amount for today. So don't worry about tomorrow, for today has enough for itself, as Jesus says. And with that, we can turn, as the Psalms of Lament do, to rejoicing. Today is Laetare Sunday. That's what it says on the front of your bulletins. It's an old Latin word that means rejoice. This is the rejoicing Sunday right in the middle of Lent. I said earlier that repentance is the opposite of complaining. The other opposite of complaining, if you could have two opposites to a word, is to rejoice. And so rejoice, because the Lord has provided. Rejoice because the Lord has allowed us to repent and to change our ways and to turn to him. Rejoice because the Son of God has come to you from his cross with his death and resurrection and has given you life and salvation. Rejoice that even though you don't know what's ahead in the next 40 years or 40 days even, or 40 hours for that matter, neither did the Israelites, you know that the Lord will provide enough for each day. Hear the words of Paul in the book of Philippians. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with rejoicing, let your requests be made known to God. Amen.